Luke in chapter 2 and verse 21. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 2 and verse 21. That's page 1026. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And the subject before us this morning is seeing God's salvation. And we see this morning how Simeon and Anna could see God's salvation in the little baby born in Bethlehem, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been considering over the past messages testimonies of the Lord's people. We've seen Zacharias and Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary, and now this morning we see Simeon and Anna. And we can see so remarkably how these two elderly people saw God's salvation in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the name Jesus is a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Joshua, meaning Yahweh is our salvation. Joshua, as you know, was an earthly savior who led the children of Israel from wilderness into the promised land of Canaan. He was a most remarkable leader. He was a very godly man. And he himself, in his testimony, was a type of Christ. Because Jesus, the heavenly Savior, leads sinners out of the wilderness into the promised land of glory, sometimes described as Canaan. So Joshua was a picture, a type of Christ. As he led the children of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land, so Jesus, the heavenly Joshua, leads sinners out of the wilderness of sin into the glorious promised land of glory. Now, his name was conveyed by the angel to Joseph and was first given by God, Jesus. God is our salvation. And the name Jesus, though, was not unique at the time. It was a translation, as we have said, of the Hebrew word Joshua. There are many babies named Jesus at that time, because it was it reminded them of Joshua. But we find in the Gospel of Matthew a distinction is being made to affirm the divinity and the uniqueness of Jesus. You will notice in Matthew chapter 1, for example, verse 1, we read the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Matthew 1:16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And then in Matthew 1:18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So you see how Matthew is reminding ourselves it is Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the anointed Messiah. And the name Jesus, as it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, is full of meaning. It's full of hope. It's full of purpose. He, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. He will do it. Whatever situation we have come into this morning, whatever condition that we are in, if we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will save from whatever condition his people from their sins. And so the hymn writer says, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. That is Jesus. That's what he means to us. His name is so precious to us. And the Apostle Peter, likewise, had no doubt in his mind that the way of salvation was in the person and the name of Jesus Christ. When Peter was preaching, he said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice here, he uses the name Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Later on, when preaching, he says, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And he goes on to say, "There is no other name, the name of Jesus Christ, given unto heaven, whereby we can be saved." Well, the name Jesus then, as applied to Christ, is a name that is full of hope. Yet it is also full of solemnity. The Apostle Paul reminds us that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. Jesus in the manger is not only the Saviour, but he's also the Judge. Believers will rejoice with eternal joy and adoration, bowing at the feet of Jesus as their Saviour and Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. But unbelievers will mourn because of him, an eternity of regret, having rejected him as Saviour and Lord. The name Jesus, then, it's a precious name. It's a name full of meaning, but it is also a name which brings a sense of solemnity into our minds. But then secondly, I want us to notice the obedience. In verse 22, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now, this event, we are told, is likely to have taken place approximately 40 days after the birth of Jesus, at this time of purification, when the days of a purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished. Now, Luke records this event for a purpose. He's showing to us how Jesus was made under the law and subject to it. Accordingly, he elaborates the details of the obedience of Mary in relation to the birth of Jesus. And the word law occurs no less than 5 times in this chapter. And what Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is telling us, that the whole life of Jesus, from the manger to the grave, was in accordance with God's will and God's law. It was a life of total dedication to the commandment of God. He obeyed every aspect of the law perfectly. And so we read, for example, in verse 39, at the end of our passage, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." You see, there was a real desire with Joseph and Mary to do things decently and in order, to respect the law of the Lord. And, of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ was the one and only person who perfectly obeyed the law. Now, there was never a more profound dedication service than this one at the temple. The Son of God in human flesh, presented to the Lord as the firstborn son of Mary and Joseph. Holy to the Lord. How pleasing to God the Father was this dedication service at the temple. Do you know this was the only time on earth when a baby could be presented to the Lord truly perfect and holy to the Lord? There was no other time in history, from Adam all the way, and there won't be a time right to the end of the world, there's only one little baby that's ever been presented to the Lord completely, perfectly holy and pure, without a need of salvation before the Lord. He alone could be truly holy to the Lord, separate from sin, totally dedicated to the Father's will. Now, the Son of God was presented as a baby, as a little baby boy in flesh, in humility at the temple. We read that it was with a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And that was the sacrifice that went with those of the poorest in society. There was an assessment made. Where do these people fit in life's the society ladder? And Joseph and Mary were on the very bottom rung. And they came with a very simple offering. And so we're reminded this morning that not only of the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, presented wholly before the Lord, but also the humility of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what this reminds us is that holiness and humility in our character, in our person, the way we behave, the way we speak, the way we communicate, are the two of the greatest characteristics of the Lord's people. They were the true, one of the two great characteristics of the Lord Jesus throughout his life. Holiness, humility. Holiness, humility. Constantly exercised throughout his life. And even as a boy growing up, he was subject to his parents. Holiness and humility. So what therefore really matters for us in following the Lord Jesus Christ is not what we have, but what we are in Christ. Not what we have, not what we've done, but what we are in Christ. That's the real meaning of following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we are in Christ Jesus. And only as we are in Christ Jesus can we be holy and humble. And this is what counts before the Lord God Almighty. But then we move on to this wonderful subject of salvation, and that is found in verses 25 to 33. I won't read all those verses through again. We've read this chapter together this morning. But look now, if you would, have your eyes on verses 25 through to 33. We have this remarkable statement by Simeon. Now, it is not recorded that Simeon was a priest. It's not recorded that Simeon was even a minister. It's not recorded that Simeon actually was in any leadership position. Actually, it just says that Simeon was just and devout. He was just and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, was upon him. Now, Simeon was one of the blessed gems of the Church of the Living God. A gem in the Church of the Living God is a godly, living, praying person who lives their life as a true believer in sincerity and in truth. They are the real gems. The real gems of the Church. Those that simply live a godly life. They are praying people. They live their lives as a true believer in sincerity and in truth. There was a man in Jerusalem. Nothing very spectacular here, is there? It doesn't say there was a leader, there was a priest, there was a ruler in Jerusalem. Just a man. There was a man in Jerusalem. Now, not everyone is called to leadership or to minister, but the strength of the church, you know, does not lie in leadership alone. The strength of the church actually lies in the body of praying godly believers. The body is the strength of the church. When the body is together praying and in love together, that is the strength of the church. And here, Simeon is one of those members of God's church. And he's described as being just and devout. He was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and his walk was close with the Lord. So when we speak about being filled by the Holy Spirit of God, what do we mean by this? Well, some people mean that what it means is, you know, you're there and suddenly this incredible feeling comes upon you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, in God's goodness, he does sometimes give us in his great goodness an expression of his great love in a feeling that happens uniquely from time to time that maybe have been your experience from time to time. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God requires an exercise of faith on our behalf. It doesn't come independent of our mind. It doesn't come like we're a robot and we're not engaged at all, and the Spirit of God suddenly comes upon us and we have this amazing experience as though we're a robot. No. When we speak about the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's in connection with somebody who is looking unto Jesus. And if we want to be people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we have to exercise faith, looking to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we look to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will reveal the wonderful person of Christ to our souls. And we will be filled with amazement. We'll be filled with truth. We'll be filled with wonder. We'll be filled with a sense of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the filling of the Holy Spirit does not come independently from faith. It does not come independently from looking to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's being in Christ. It's looking to Christ. And this is what happened with Simeon. You see, Simeon was a man who was looking for Jesus. He was waiting for Jesus. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the Messiah by faith. And the Holy Spirit was upon him as he was in that exercise. And so, dear friends, if we want to be people of the Spirit, we need to be people of Christ. We need to be looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope, our expectation, our great motivation in life must be to Christ. And it had been revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And this promise, you will notice, it was not revealed to a high priest, to a scribe, to a religious leader, but to this man, Simeon, who was a just and godly man, simply a believer, a godly man walking with the Lord and his word. And he is used far more by the Lord than an unspiritual leader. Oh, so many of the leaders at that time were unspiritual. They were not looking to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were not looking for the Messiah even. They were only interested in their rules and regulations and ceremonies and various things. They were unspiritual men. And this godly man, Simeon, was of far more value in God's sight. Because he was a godly man, simply walking in God's way. And such a man was given spiritual insight, godly discernment. He was divinely favored of the Lord. You know, it takes far more grace to be a Simeon than to be a leader. You think, well, how does that mean? What do you mean by that? Well, if we're not called into ministry or leadership, then we have to live our lives daily, exercising that simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, learning from his word. The day-to-day living out our life as a believer, it's actually very challenging. You see, a minister, when they finish preaching on a Sunday, they've got to get ready for the midweek meeting. They've got to get ready for Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Generally, there's 3 messages to get ready. There's pastoral visitation. There's constant exercise, constant recourse to the Word of God. And so there's a discipline that has to be applied to the minister's life. And in a way, that's very helpful to them in a sense of keeping focused upon the Word of God. There is a necessary discipline in leadership. But if you're going out to work tomorrow or Tuesday, whenever it is, because we've got bank holiday tomorrow, and you're having to live your life right out into the forefront of the world, right there in the midst of it, that's challenging. You're meeting and going to meetings, you're going to situations which are extremely challenging, and to be out there in the battlefront, oh, that's very challenging. But if we're a man or a woman like Simeon, a praying person, a godly person, a just person, a people of integrity, oh, the Lord can use us in a remarkable way as a testimony. So be encouraged. Be encouraged this morning. Simeon was now an old man, and he had a testimony, and his spiritual discipline and service was simply his daily, humble, private walk with the Lord. Simeon loved to be in the house of the Lord. He loved to be in the fellowship of the Lord's people. And it's most remarkable to me to see old people gathering together, those that love the Lord, those who are quite aged in years, here this morning, making that effort to come. And it causes pain. It's a struggle to come sometimes, to get the body working and to walk and what it might be. But you're here, and it's saying, I love the Lord. I love the Lord's house. I want to be here. It's part of your worship to the Lord. And Simeon was just this like a man. He was an old man, but he comes into the house of the Lord. He loved to be in the temple, just like Anna did. And the point being here, to those of us who are younger in years, though I'm 60, I still like to think of myself as young, this is a testimony for us. We should respect the testimony of aged believers. We should respect their position in the church of the living God. Simeon is just described here as a man in Jerusalem. He was just, meaning he was a man of integrity who lived in the way of godliness. He was a devout man. He took very seriously his walk with the Lord and his worship of the Lord. And the word devout here has the meaning of being reverent before the Lord. He didn't play fast and loose with God. He didn't become too familiar with God. He didn't just rush into prayer and think of God on our level and we can just pray without reverence. No, Simeon was a reverent man. He was reverent before the Lord. And here we have the secret to his testimony. He was devoted to the Lord with respect and reverence. And here is the secret to usefulness in old age. Don't let anybody tell you that because you're old, you have no further purpose in the work of the living God. You have a testimony, and it's speaking. Oh, be encouraged. Think of Simeon. Think of Anna. Well, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for the comfort and the hope of Israel. Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel at a time when the nation was actually in a very bad state. And this is similar to us this morning if we are men and women who are waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Are we waiting for this? We live in a time of great decline in our nation. And are we like Simeon? Are we waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was waiting for the first coming. But are we waiting with anticipation and expectation for the Lord Jesus? Can we say this morning, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. Well, Simeon was waiting. And he was at a time under the Roman Empire. There was a cruel king, Herod. There were legalistic scribes and Pharisees. True religion was at its lowest ebb. The man-made religion now was seen as a millstone around people's necks. The leaders had made it a heavy burden. There was degradation, there was despair, there was darkness. And in the midst of this were Simeon and Anna, who have a testimony of hope and expectation. Just two people in the great city of Jerusalem. Two people waiting. And they understood where their consolation was, where their comfort was to be, in Jesus Christ. And there's a lesson for us here. We might seek consolation in people. We might seek consolation in communicating with people. We live in this communication age, and people want to email and text and Facebook and Twitter and all this sort of business. By the way, I'm not on Facebook, so if anyone thinks I'm not on Facebook. I don't quite work, see how it works out. But the thing is, so much communication now. So much communication goes on today between people. And if we're not careful, we're seeking our consolation in others rather than Christ. Our dependence comes on the way we're communicating, the sympathy or the comfort or the consolation we're receiving from people we text or email or Facebook or whatever, Twitter, wherever it is. And actually, our consolation is in Christ. Our comfort is in Christ. People seek consolation in entertainment. They seek consolation in shopping. £3 billion evidently was spent yesterday on the online. People are seeking consolation. They're seeking comfort. It's like a shopping therapy. Oh, how can we fill this void of the after Christmas feeling? We've had Christmas Day, it's over, we've had our presents. How can we fill this empty void? Oh, we must go on the online. We must comfort ourselves with a bargain. But Simeon and Anna's consolation was in Christ. Be encouraged by this, because Christ will be here tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Because the Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The believer's consolation is ultimately to be in Christ. It reminds us of the promise of the prophet Isaiah. He said, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings like eagles. Mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." But then we read here that the Holy Spirit was upon him. And here we're given this unique hallmark of a child of God, the Holy Spirit being upon them. Well, of course, the Holy Spirit was supremely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the anointed one. But Simeon here was led of the Holy Spirit into the temple to be in the right place at the right time. And what blessings come upon a person led of the Spirit of God? The Word of God tells us to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. And what a blessing it is if we are spiritually minded. And it's very difficult to be spiritually minded in this world in which we live. There are so many distractions. There are so many pressures on our mind. There are so many challenges that we have to think through in life's pathway. But actually, we're told to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And Simeon experiences truth in a very real way. His body was a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and Simeon was filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice, again, it's as he looked to the Lord Jesus Christ. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not independent from Christ. It comes as we're overwhelmed with the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. As the disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our heart burn within us as he talked with us in the way, as he revealed the Lord Jesus Christ in all the scriptures, as truth came with power, oh, the Spirit of God came, and we were overwhelmed with the wonder of truth. Well, Simeon was a man who was guided by truth. He was given discernment. He was intent on praising God. And such a person sees what is truly special, while the world ignores what is truly special. Simeon and Anna, Joseph and Mary, four people saw at this time what was truly special. This little baby, the baby Jesus, was truly special. And that is one of the signs of a child of God. What the world rejects and sees as irrelevant and as a fairy tale and a myth and of no value to their mind whatsoever, the Christian is someone that values God's word and values the Savior Jesus Christ. They see him as special, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so Simeon and Anna did. And when the parents, we read, brought the child into child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of Israel, all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." So let us see here this morning as we continue on through this passage that Simeon, a man filled of the Holy Spirit, was given great depth in discernment and guidance, because there was nothing outward to indicate that the baby Jesus was someone special. He was just another little baby. And he was brought in by his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. And they were an insignificant couple by the standards of the world. And their presence was lost on the important people. The religious leaders were not there to welcome Mary and Joseph. They came in with the baby Jesus. They were not there to welcome him. But Simeon was. And Simeon, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognized Jesus at once as the Messiah. And this is one of the signs that the Spirit of God is working in our life. If we recognize Jesus by faith for who he really is, he is the only way of salvation. Now, Simeon was not put off by the poverty of Joseph and Mary. He was moved by the person and presence of Jesus. That's what moved him. He didn't look at the outward appearance. He was led of the Spirit to see that this baby Jesus was the Son of God made man, the Messiah. And if we are spiritually minded, we will see Christ in the Scriptures. Just as Simeon saw Christ in the arms of Mary and took him into his own arms, he saw Christ, he saw the Messiah, he saw the Savior. And so if we're led of the Spirit, we'll be seeing Christ in the Scriptures. And we will see what the world ignores. And we'll see what even the worldly minded Christian missed. We will see with spiritual eyes a preciousness in Christ. Despite his outward poverty, Simeon had no doubt that Christ was the Messiah. He was not dressed in all the best clothes. He was not dressed up in the latest fashion of the day. He would have been clothed very simply. But he saw Christ. He had no doubt that this was Christ the Messiah. He straightway took him up in his arms. And he was a man who truly believed in the word of God. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Thy word is sure and true, and I trust in the promises of the word of the Lord. And Simeon links his sight of the Messiah with the promise of the Messiah. And now he is ready to depart and go to glory, for he has seen the Messiah here on earth. He had salvation in his arms, in the baby Jesus. And this is amazing faith. Here is God's salvation in this little baby, Jesus. The one who is eternally prepared of the Lord for all peoples of the world. A light for the Gentiles. The true glory of Israel. Notice here that salvation is not limited to the Jews, but also it is extending to the Gentiles. A worldwide prophetic proclamation which is being fulfilled today. You see, a truly spiritually minded man is not a narrow minded man. If Simeon had been so narrow minded and said, I'm a Jew and Gentiles are dogs, which is what the Jew used to think about a Gentile, if he was this narrow minded nationalistic man who only thought of his race and only thought of Jesus in terms of the Jews, he would never have said anything like this. But no, a man led of the Spirit of God has an emancipated mind. He has liberty and freedom. And he can say, this salvation is for the whole world. It's a light to lighten the Gentiles. It's hope for the Gentiles. The glory of thy people, Israel. Well, we read that Joseph in verse 33 and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They were truly amazed at the fullness and the greatness of what Jesus said about Jesus. But then we come, as we hasten through this passage, to the truth, the solemn truth. In verse 34, and now we come to Calvary. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now Simeon blessed them, meaning he prayed for the blessing of the Lord to be with Joseph and Mary. Simeon did not pronounce a blessing on the Son of God, because he was eternally blessed. He did pray for his life, though, that God would be glorified through his life as a perfect man, through the life and the death and the resurrection and ascension of Christ. We may think, well, is this not taking things a bit far? Did Simeon have such an insight? But history proves that he did understand by faith. Firstly, he understood that Jesus would be rejected by the majority. He would be spoken against. He would be received by the minority, who is destined, meaning God had predetermined his ministry should be defined by both justice and mercy. He was to be the stone which the builder rejected, who would become the chief cornerstone. He will be a sure and certain sign of God's power, yet spoken against, even at the point of death. A sign which shall be spoken against. And then in verse 35, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And so it was. When Christ was upon the cross, we read of Mary standing by the cross, her soul smitten with grief. And so it was that Calvary revealed the awful and devastating hatred of Jesus Christ by sinners. Never was there such venom and wrath poured out through the lips of sinners as that at the cross of Calvary. To stand before the cross and view the Son of God made man suffering for sinners, and at the same time blaspheme him, is to reveal the utter depravity of the heart of lost sinners. But Simeon saw this rejection, he saw this suffering by faith, and yet he held the Saviour in his arms in adoration. He saw by faith that he was heading for Calvary, he was going to be the perfect sacrifice, and it was going to be like a sword piercing through Mary, his mother's heart. And he held him in his arms and said, This is salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And finally this morning, we just look briefly at the thanksgiving of Anna in verse 36. And there was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. But she, coming in that instance, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that look for redemption in Jerusalem. See this amazing truth. Immediately she saw the Lord Jesus. She gave thanks. And she spoke of him as Saviour. To those that look for redemption. Are you looking for redemption this morning? Are you looking for forgiveness? Are you looking for cleansing? Are you looking to be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ this morning, like Anna? Are you one of those that will be looking, will be numbered amongst these people here that will looking for redemption in Jerusalem? Oh, Anna was one of those people. And she spoke to those people. And the name Anna means gracious. And so it was evident in her life and witness. The term prophetess refers to our undoubted depth of understanding in the word of the Lord. The testimony of our lips was her devoted and close walk with the Lord and his word. She was given a deep understanding in the deep things of God. She lived for many years as a widow, to a great age, devoting herself to the Lord. Her ministry was one of prayer and fasting. Her home was the temple of the Lord. And immediately she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to the Lord. And so for us, seeing Jesus by faith should bring forth praise from our lips. And seeing Jesus for ourselves will then mean we'll speak to him to others also. To those looking for redemption. Oh, we've seen the Saviour. We've found the Saviour. And we meet people who are also looking for a Saviour. We can communicate to them. She spoke of Christ. One glimpse of the Saviour was enough for her. And she would speak to these people looking for redemption. She'd speak of his perfection, his purpose, his power, his grace, his humility, his love, his forthcoming sacrifice. She had no doubt who Jesus was, and she would apply the prophetic scripture to this person, the Messiah. Here is the Prince of Peace. Here is the Saviour. Here is the Messiah who you are looking for. Here is the redemption of the Lord's people. So Simeon saw the salvation of the Lord in Jesus. Anna gave thanks and saw the salvation of the Lord in Jesus. And their souls were enlarged as they focused upon Jesus. And so may it be for us even this morning, that as we focus upon Jesus and see him by faith, our hearts may be enlarged spiritually. And we'll go away from this service this morning having been refreshed through the word of God and the person of Jesus Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. May it be so, that we will be those who are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that we will be touched by the word of God and the person of Jesus. Let's turn to our final hymn.